With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams and 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. And Matthew 5, verses 1 to 12. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain. And after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Through these words, God's voice is heard. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. When you were a child, how were you put to bed at night? Was there a ritual, particular words that were said? My mother used to say the same words every night. "Good night, sleep tight, God bless you." She didn't actually believe in God, I should add. But this is what her mother said to her every night. And it's what I said to my son. Until he asked me one day, "Mommy, what does that mean, God bless you? How would you explain blessing to a child? I can barely explain to adults what it means." I bumbled around. I said something about God loving you in a special way. My son, a born skeptic, continued to quiz me. "Mommy, did God love Jesus in a special way?" I had a feeling I knew where this was heading. Yes, I would say so. "Well," he said, "I don't want you to say that to me anymore, to say, God bless you." "Why not?" I asked, holding my breath. "Well," he said, "look what happened to Jesus." Yep, we can't get away from it. When God blesses us, it doesn't mean we're going to be free of suffering or tragedy. Whatever it means to be blessed, it does not mean that life will go the way that we want. And this little group gathered round Jesus, who'd heard him say, "Follow me," and had said yes, have no idea what will happen to Jesus, or indeed, one day to themselves. right now, they're fresh from seeing Jesus perform miracles. The crowds had gotten wind of Jesus' healing power. They'd brought to him their sick, the afflicted, the demoniacs, the epileptics, the paralytics. He cured them all. Now, his disciples, his chosen ones, draw aside for special instruction. There's no obvious reason he's chosen them. They're poor, without influence, without education, without power. And Jesus is about to send them into the world to do what they've seen him do, to preach, to teach, to heal, for goodness sake. I can't imagine how they must have felt. They're like a bunch of French soccer fans who've traveled to Moscow to watch France play in the FIFA World Cup final. For the first half, they cheer their team, but at halftime, they're hauled out of the stand, given jerseys, and told they're now the team. A few minutes with the coach, and they're on the field. Yikes! They're stunned, scared, inadequate, but somehow hopeful. After all, for some reason, they've been chosen. Jesus begins by telling them that in their inadequacy, in their fear and turmoil, they are blessed. His blessings don't sound very blessed. To be poor in spirit, meek, grief-stricken, persecuted, reviled. So we need to ask, what does it actually mean to be blessed? The Aramaic word for blessing is barucha. Its root meaning comes from winemaking. It refers to the action of yeast as it ferments the grain or fruit. The word barucha actually imitates the bubbling sound, barucha, barucha. The sound of that mysterious process of transformation as wine is created. This marvelous drink that offers joy when rightly used. As Jesus pronounced this lovely word, barucha, on the little ragtag group around him, he's in effect saying, take heart. The yeast of God's Spirit has drawn near to you. There's something wonderful and new brewing in your midst. He's saying something like, God is making you into wine for the world. The title of this sermon comes from a painting hanging in a gallery somewhere of an old man and a child. They're watching their house burn to the ground, all their earthly belongings going up in flames. The child weeps. The old man comforts him. The artist has entitled the picture, Hush, Child, God Ain't Dead. And this is in effect what Jesus is saying to those who've left everything to follow him. Those who are in turmoil, regretful, confused, questioning, anxious, Jesus says to them, God is not dead. He says, blessed are you who are poor in spirit. You who have seen miracles and don't know what to make of them. Blessed are you who don't know what you believe. You who are agnostic. You who can still be surprised. Blessed are you who don't yet know even how to pray, let alone heal. You who are poor in spirit, you have so much room in you for the yeast of God to work wonders. Blessed are you who mourn, You who've left everything behind to follow me, your work, your families. Blessed are you who have loved enough to be able to feel loss. Blessed are you who have not gotten over it yet. Blessed are you who care enough about the way things are and the way they used to be able to mourn the changes. In your struggle with change and all you've lost, the yeast of God's Spirit is working to create new meaning, new purpose, new possibilities. And you will find comfort. Blessed are you who are meek, who are amongst the powerless. You who own little, who have no one to advocate for you. Blessed are you who are without power. Without power to put the past right, or to save a loved one from going down the wrong path. You are blessed. You who know that you are nothing without God. Blessed are you whom no one notices. You who are alone, unemployed, cast aside, forgotten. Blessed are those of you for whom life is hard. You are the people whom Jesus chose to surround himself with. The yeast of God's Spirit is alive in you. To be powerless, grief-stricken, empty, is not a choice. Life thrusts these conditions on us. But Jesus tells us that in our poverty, our emptiness, our powerlessness, whatever the circumstances, God is not dead. God is alive, active, brewing something new and good. He goes on to speak about where we do have choices. We can choose to hunger and thirst for righteousness, to put people above profits and self-interest, to pour ourselves out to serve others. Blessed are you who sacrifice your time and your own happiness to care for a loved one. Blessed are you who write letters to your politicians and the newspapers, and you who do pro bono work. You who welcome refugees and guide them in settling here, you are blessed. Blessed are you who choose the way of mercy. You who have ever forgiven someone who did not deserve it. You are blessed. And blessed are you who are pure in heart. You who choose to serve God and nothing else, who seek to do God's will above all else. You who seek justice and mercy and walk humbly with your God, you are blessed. And you who are peacemakers, who have ever stood between a bully and someone weak, you are blessed. You who seek righteousness, you who are merciful, who are pure in heart, who are peacemakers, you are the stuff that heaven is made of, and you are blessed to be a blessing to others. You're blessed when you choose to follow God's way over the world's way, even when it makes you unpopular. You are blessed, Jesus says, when you are persecuted for his sake. In your actions and in the emptiness and loss of what you've given up, the yeast of God's Spirit is at work, bringing something new and amazing. The great civil rights activist Martin Luther King was an example of such a person. king knew that he would likely be assassinated. 2 months before he died, he spoke about what he wanted to be remembered for. He said, "I'd like somebody to mention that day that Martin Luther King tried to give his life serving others. I'd like for somebody to say that day that Martin Luther King tried to love somebody. I'd like you to say that day that I tried to be right on the war question. I want you to be able to say that day that I did try to feed the hungry. And I want you to be able to say that day that I did try in my life to visit those who were in prison. I want you to say that I tried to love and serve humanity. Yes, if you want to say that I was a drum major, say that I was a drum major for justice. Say that I was a drum major for peace. I was a drum major for righteousness. And all of the other shallow things will not matter. I won't have any money to leave behind. I won't have the fine and luxurious things of life to leave behind. I just want to leave a committed life behind." Isn't that the blessing that Jesus offers? A committed life. A life committed to walking in Jesus' way of mercy, devotion to God, peacemaking, and willingness to bear the cost. A life through which the Spirit of God can work to bring change. Isn't that what all this blessing is about? All this yeast of God's Spirit working in hidden ways through impoverished, inadequate, ordinary people to make us into more than we could ever be on our own. In summary, you who seek to follow Jesus are blessed. Whoever you are, whatever you face, the yeast of God's Spirit is working in hidden places in you and through you to do something new, to bring a small piece of heaven here on earth. To God be all the praise, the honor, and the glory. Amen.